in this episode, you are going to hear how Nick Cannon is a racist. Well, that's in the second part of the episode. And how George Soros is funding Black Lives Matter. What a surprise. What a surprise. Get ready for some fire because it's coming your way. You can follow me on my website, tstutch.com. You can follow me on Twitter, tstutch1. YouTube, Taylor Space Dutch. Instagram, Facebook, Taylor Radio. Enjoy the episode. All right, let's dive in. Let's do a deep, deep dive. So, I want to start off talking about the announcement by George Soros and his Open Society that they would be investing in a... They would be investing hundreds of millions of dollars, I think it was around $150, $200 million, into organizations run by Black people to further the goal of dismantling racism, or dismantling the systemic racism in the United States. In that announcement, they cited things like they cited the systemic racism being in the system, the legal system, all systems. The political system, legal system, capitalist system, everything is infected with systemic racism and thus needs to be dismantled. And in the announcement, you know, it references things like anti-racist policies, anti-racist whatever strategies and goals. And we need to make something clear here. This is something that people need to understand. In today's age, these words, these names, such as anti-racist, anti-fascist, Antifa, these are names meant to fool you. These are names meant to make you believe that the people behind them, running them, have good intentions. It's also how they recruit. They recruit unwitting, non-thoughtful people into their organizations by saying things like, we are anti-racist, we are anti-fascist, we are anti-white supremacist. And it's like, okay, that sounds, here's the thing, and to jump on to what James Lindsay said on Rogan's podcast, which I completely agree. What's so evil about this movement that we're seeing in the United States is that it uses people's best intentions for evil ends. And that's what these names are about. You tell people, we are anti-fascist. We are anti-racist. Therefore, our goals, our missions must be anti-fascist. They must be anti-racist. Well, I'm sorry, but if you're not paying attention, if you don't have your finger on the pulse of what's going on, then you fall for it. Because after all, these people are fighting against the oppressor. They're fighting against the capitalist system, which seeks to exploit everyone and doesn't let anyone live a life of worth and value. If you listen to the SJW Nutballs, this is what you would believe, that this is the world that we live in. But it's not the world that we live in. We live in a very nuanced world. We live in a complex world. Anyway, let me jump back to the announcement. The announcement by George Soros was troubling in a few ways. One of the ways it was troubling to me was how in the announcement it mentions that now is the time to set up these organizations to continue the anti-racist movement, the anti-racist revolution. That's troubling to me. We have already seen in the United States for the last several, you know, we've seen political correctness come and go, kind of ebb and flow for a while in the United States. I was told when I was a kid, there was a big political correctness push, which kind of died out a little bit. And then I remember when I was in college, it started making a comeback. And what worries me, or what puts me on guard more than such worries me, but what tickles my fancy, I should say, is that they talk about how now they've got momentum. And now they want to set up these organizations. They want organizations to be set up by black people. Keep in mind, black people are being used as a shield here for the Marxist agenda. But now they want organizations set up to keep the momentum moving. And George Soros' Open Society is going to be providing this funding of up to $200 million in grant money to these organizations. $200 million is a lot of money. I mean, that's almost a quarter of $1 billion for probably a lot of small organizations. I mean, we're not talking about international companies. We're talking about, you know, probably citywide, regional-wide organizations that aren't creating anything, right? They don't have overhead of manufacturing products or running services, so $200 million is a lot of money. And so that's a concern to me. That makes me think that we're going to see a lot more of this kind of bullshit coming up. We're going to see a lot more unrest. We're going to see more fighting, unnecessary fighting amongst ourselves and each other because Soros is pushing the anti-racist agenda. Now, you might say, well, Taylor, it's an anti-racist agenda. They want to get rid of systemic racism. Oh, do they? Really? Is that really what's going on? Because last time I checked, the people that are out there protesting on the ground for BLM, for Black Lives Matter, are hardly talking about black people. They're talking about tearing down white people. They're not talking about, let's, you know, figure out how to make black neighborhoods safe. No. They're trying to figure out how to demolish and dismantle the Constitution because it's a white supremacist document. They're trying, the people in Black Lives Matter, the people in Antifa, their goal is to take down the current system. And, you know, there's, I don't want to go into some people's motivations. I don't understand everyone's motivations, but that's what's happening. And you don't have to be a genius to see it. When people are out in the streets, you know, a lady was just shot. A white lady was just shot. A young white lady with a kid was just shot and killed, I think it was in Indiana, somewhere in the Midwest, because she said all lives matter. That is where we're at today. This is where we're at today. Where if you disagree with the talking points of Black Lives Matter, they will kill you. And this is why I keep trying to tell people, you know, the thing is, I don't have a large social media following in a lot of arenas. Yes, I'm gaining some steam here on the podcast, but in terms of, say, Twitter, I don't spend a whole lot of time on Twitter. I've only got about 70 or so followers, 70 or 80 followers. So when I tweet things like the radical left, the Marxists, the BLM, Antifa, they want to kill your family, I'm not joking. These people want to kill your family. I mean, the amount of anti-white sentiment I see, it's disgusting is what it is. And I hate the fact that I have to keep talking about it. I really do. Because it makes me seem crazy. Like, hey, dude, what are you so worried about white people for? Well, I'll tell you why. Right? Because in the United States, it's unacceptable for people to talk about any race or region of people and say, fuck all those people, and those people need to die, and those people are responsible for all the world's problems. You can't say that about any other race but white people or people that are perceived as white. Because that's a whole nother problem, trying to figure out who's white and who's not, right? That's actually a very difficult problem. Now, since people are very simplistic and stupid, a lot of people are very simplistic and stupid, they don't understand this and they just go along with it. And the disgusting bullshit that we're hearing is that white people are the most barbaric, the most savage, the colonizers of the world, all of this stuff, and that we are this horrible race of people that need to be purged. You know, a couple weeks ago, I talked about how racism is being upheld as the ultimate evil. Racism is bad, but it's not the ultimate evil. I have to keep coming back to this. For people who are not thinking properly, racism is bad. It's not the ultimate evil, right? Killing innocent people is worse than not liking somebody because of their race. Now, that being said, racism is also being changed, right? People are changing the definition of racism. The actual definition of racism is having a prejudice against someone based on their race. It is a prejudice, but it's specifically based on their race. Something that you're born with that you can't change, you can't control. What they've changed the definition of racism, which I saw happening when I was a few years ago, is when it started gaining steam, was racism is prejudice plus power. So only people that have perceived power can be racist, which they say only white people have power, which is bullshit, right? I mean, like, the average white person has no power over anything, just like the average person of any race has no power over anything. But this is how they do it, right? I've already laid it out for you, how what we're seeing is like a modern day purge. We're seeing a modern day, we're seeing the beginnings of a modern day kind of like gulag attempt at genocide in the Western Hemisphere, Western world situation, where they're saying, look, all white people are guilty of inherent and inherited racism. Racism is the most evil thing on this earth, and it is what is causing all of the world's problems are evil white people. The only way to fix the problems of the world is to therefore get rid of the evil, which is all white people, because all white people are born with this problem, with this disease. This is what they're doing. This is the game that they're playing. It's a dangerous game, of course. Now, I don't think everyone's going to go along with it. Of course, I don't think so. But I think it will have a lot of power, and we have to stop its momentum. So this is Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is pushing, they're against the nuclear family, which nuclear family has issues. It should be more of an extended family unit, probably. But you don't want to abolish family units. The Black Lives Matter wants to abolish family units. They go out onto the streets and say, defund the police. They don't talk about police reform. They say, get rid of the police. And when they say, get rid of the police, then they go ahead and criminals run wild. And when people come out to defend themselves, then the law turns around and arrests them. I covered this in my last podcast. The couple that came out to defend themselves in Missouri with their guns, they had a search warrant and their guns were picked up by the police. The people that painted over a Black Lives Matter sign, I believe in California, were charged with a hate crime for cleaning up graffiti. And that's where we are in the United States. We're being run by the mob. The police units are being taken over by the mob. Local and city governments are being taken over by Black Lives Matter. And Black Lives Matter activists and Antifa are not aiming for equality. They are aiming for overthrowing the current U.S. government system and for exterminating white people from all public life as much as possible. This is what they want. I'm telling you. They want to exterminate white people from the public sphere. If you run away and hide in a hole somewhere, they're probably not going to come looking for you. But If you want to maintain your job as a manager at a store, they want you gone. If you want to be in a political office, they want you gone if you're white. If you have a business or a show or anything of value, property, they want it if you're white. They want to take it from you. And if you're not white, that should be troubling as fuck, because that is a system that will turn on you. This system will turn the violence and momentum that is being pushed by Black Lives Matter can be moved against anybody. This is why it's so dangerous. This is why people of all races, creeds, colors need to come together to fight against the Marxist attempt at overthrowing the United States culture and government, because the U.S. government and our culture, we got problems, right? We got problems. We've got corruption. We've got fucking problems. We have issues with justice, and it's not, the racial justice isn't nearly as bad as the class justice, right? If you are Hillary Clinton, you'll never go to jail. But if you're an average motherfucker who gets caught with a piece of weed in his car, you're going to jail. So that's what I think we should be focusing on more. But regardless, we have issues. We got problems. But we also have a system that can be used to protect innocent people in the best way possible that we know of at the moment. That's not saying that we don't try to make it better. But we do have one of the best systems for a country the size of ours to help maintain people that are innocent, to help protect people's property rights. Now, like I said, we still have issues. We have problems. We have blind spots. Absolutely. But you don't demolish a system of laws and rules and regulations that have worked for a large part of the country of all colors, all races, right? There are Asians, Blacks, Hispanics all over the country who benefit from property rights, who benefit from a strong legal system that is supposed to be somewhat uniform depending on where you are. You know, different laws in cities and states have different laws and rules, but that benefits everyone. It doesn't just benefit white people and white men. But that's what people are trying to say, is it only benefits white people and white men. That's absurd. It's patently absurd. As somebody who's worked with Black business owners, as somebody who has worked with people and been with people from all over the world and all of different races and ethnicities, this country allows a lot of opportunity that will disappear if Black Lives Matter is allowed to take over. And George Soros is funding it. This is critical because people have been attacking George Soros for years, saying that he's been funding these attempts to overthrow the United States. People have made jokes about conspiracy theories about George Soros. Scott Adams has talked some shit about conspiracy theories about George Soros. Some of those rightly so, because there hasn't been a whole lot of evidence about George Soros backing things for a long time, right? Like, a lot of people suspect George Soros was busing in people from South America to the border of the United States. Well, when George Soros' account comes out on Twitter and publicly announces, hey, by the way, we're giving away almost $250 million to keep the dismantling the racist, systemic racism, well, I'm telling you right there, that's a red flag. This guy has his fingers deep in revolutionary movements to overthrow the government of the United States. Now, I want to get into some other real juicy, juicy, juicy stuff going on. So, Nick Cannon, he is I don't know what exactly he does anymore. He is a Black entertainer here in the United States. He was very popular and big on Nickelodeon when I was growing up. I mean, I remember seeing him in shows and movies when I was a kid. Always thought he was a cool guy. And recently, he had a podcast where him and some ex or some, you know, hip-hop or rapper guy, you know, who's famous as well, were talking about white people. Now, what do you think they said? Do you think they said, hey guys, we all need to come together? You know, black and brown and white people all need to come together and figure this out? No. You know what he said? He talked about how white people are savages. White people are savages, subhuman. We don't have enough melanin in our skin, so we don't have empathy. It's just some weird bullshit. It's honestly, I mean, I've actually heard this kind of stuff before, but it wasn't taken seriously. It was, anyway, you know, these people think that, the people that believe in this stuff think that black people are superior to white people because they have more melanin in their skin, which is what makes them black, that they have more empathy, and that white people are just beasts and savages because we don't have enough melanin in our skin. And this is real talk. These people really say this shit. And he really said that shit. He was on a podcast talking about how white people are savages and basically subhuman. He got in trouble and got fired from CBS. Viacom fired him from a show as a host. And they cited anti-Semitic comments. Now, that's interesting to me, right? Because I'm thinking, oh, well, that's great that they fired him, but what about all the stuff he said about white people being like evil subhuman garbage? That's kind of a big fucking deal, right? Like, it's kind of a big deal to label an entire race of people as being subhuman savages, right? Isn't that what we were all taught was the opposite of equality? I went to school with people from all different races and backgrounds and was told that everyone's supposed to be treated equally. That in the past we had slavery and that was a bad thing. Now I'm learning that that was only supposed to apply to me because I'm white. I'm supposed to believe we're all equal. But if you are black, you're allowed to believe and say that white people are actually subhuman, and that's okay. It's okay to say that. Very interesting, huh? Here's what's interesting about it. This is an escalation in the rhetoric that I've been talking about. This is what I've been talking about. A couple weeks ago, I started discussing how we are seeing, and now I don't know how far it will go, but I said we are seeing likely how things transpired in places like Russia or Nazi Germany, like during the Bolshevik Revolution in the early 19-teens and in Nazi Germany in the 1930s, where it starts off with very subtle things like, oh, well, you all know that Jews control everything. Yeah, the Jews control everything. Then it becomes, well, you know, the Jews are perpetuating the system that is making you unemployed. Then it goes, well, you know, the Jews are actually, if the Jew doesn't come out and give you their money, they're perpetuating violence against you, they're oppressing you, you actually should rise up and overthrow your Jewish masters, because the Jews want to maintain you as a slave, and it just continues and goes on and goes on, and then eventually it becomes, well, you know, actually the Jews are just savage monster, evil, greedy people that want to take over everything. So we actually have to kill them now because they're our enemies. Now, I'm totally simplifying, and I'm not reading from primary documents, right? I'm just saying I speculate from learning about history and learning about the Jews and learning a lot about World War II. I imagine that something kind of similar went down, how at first it was like, well, the Jews kind of own everything, and then it was like, well, the Jews are holding us down. Then it was probably like, well, you know, the Jews are actually monsters that we have to kill. Well, That's what we're seeing happen in the United States with white people. Now, it's interesting because, like I said, white people are still a majority here. And I wouldn't have expected this to happen at this point in time. But they're using the same playbook. The playbook is the same. The playbook is white people are... First, it was, well, we all know that white people control everything. And then it was, well, you know, actually, you know, not only do white people control everything, but they want to hurt you and they want to control you and destroy your livelihood. And now it is all white people are racist. All white people are racist and are the oppressor class. All white people, right? Now it's, oh, actually, all white people are subhuman. That's what it is now. All white people are subhuman. We're savages. That's how it's looked at. And now, don't get me wrong. I don't know. I don't necessarily think this is a mainstream view. But we just heard from a mainstream, a very, very mainstream. He's on kids' networks. He's on a lot of shows, popular shows, as a host, talk about how white people are savages and subhuman because we don't have enough melanin in our skin. That's what he says. We don't have empathy and shit like that. Now, Tim Pool pointed out, and I think correctly, that these people have probably always thought this and it's just now coming out to light. Like, these people have always thought this, right? We're just now learning it. I believe that. I do believe that. What's interesting, though, is he also pointed out, Tim Pool pointed this out correctly, I believe, that now they feel emboldened. These people, you know, they feel emboldened to say this kind of stuff, which they wouldn't have felt 10 years ago. Imagine a famous host of TV shows coming out 10 years ago and saying something like, all white people are just savage monsters, basically. Subhuman species. That wouldn't have gone over well. That would have gone over really poorly. But now most people didn't even really notice. A lot of people didn't really pay attention to it. Because the environment's changed. The Overton window has moved further left. And a lot of people have been radicalized to agree with it. It's quite interesting. Now, I don't think that's a mainstream view. I don't think most people believe that. Of course I don't. But it is troubling that he felt so comfortable with saying that. I mean, you couldn't say that about any other race. Imagine people saying that about black people or Hispanics or Asians. People would go nuts in the streets. But you can say it about white people. Now, I'm a freedom of speech guy. And I think you should be able to say whatever you want. But that goes for everybody. That goes for everybody. That doesn't just go for black people. That doesn't just go for non-whites. Because, see, what we see in the United States today is if you're a white person, you cannot say anything that might be remotely construed as racist, or else your life is over. If you make a joke about Mexicans or if you make a joke about black people, oh, you bet your ass your career's in the sling. But if you're black, you can openly, in public, on a podcast, say that white people are subhuman and, you know, you lose one job. And then everyone's debating about whether or not you should be canceled. But if you're a white dude saying that, a famous white dude saying that, oh, your life is done, dude. Your career is over. Career is over. There's no way they're going to let you get away with it. No way. And that's the world we live in. We live in a world of these double standards. Because like I said, I'm a free speech guy. But I'm not a free speech for you and none for me guy. That's why I think he should be canceled. I think Nick Cannon should be fired from every job he has. And I think he should also be deplatformed like Laura Loomer. Laura Loomer was kicked off of PayPal and Uber Eats and all kinds of shit because she is a conservative. And she just pushed too hard against the left. But if you're a prominent, and I'm not talking about a nobody, like, come on, like the average dude talking on the internet that nobody knows about, nobody gives a shit what they say. But a very, very famous and influential, I don't know how influential, but very, very famous TV star going out in public on a podcast saying that a whole race of people are subhuman, and everyone's like, ah, well, you know. It's like, no, 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 no. What do you mean, ah, well, you know? How can this be tolerated? How can it be tolerated for him to say that when people are being canceled, people are losing their jobs and their livelihoods for things that they said as a joke 10 years ago? No, it's not. The double standard's fucked. That's why I say cancel the motherfucker, man. Kick him off everything. Strip his livelihood. Hey, if we don't have freedom of speech, then we don't have freedom of speech. If we don't have freedom of speech, then we don't have freedom of speech. It's not freedom of speech for this group and not for that group. Fuck that. If we're going to cancel innocent people for jokes they made 10 years ago, then I'm damn sure okay with canceling a prominent TV star advocating for the violent rhetoric that could lead to people being killed because saying that white people are subhuman. Take him out. Kick him off. I'm good with that. I'm good. Let's do it. See, people on Twitter like to say, oh yeah, well, hey, there's a guy that was saying, well, I guess we'll see. Nick Cannon will learn that there's no free speech. Well, yeah, no shit. I'm a free speech guy, but like I said, that's not what we have now. We don't have freedom of speech. Because people are being canceled for things that their relatives said. People are being fired from their jobs because things that their relatives said, that their children said, or their parents said. So, the only way we can stop the left from totally taking over everything is to cancel the left. And I'm fine with that. I know some people might think that that sounds crazy. Some people might think, well, no, dude, we can't do that. We don't want to do that because then that makes the whole situation worse. It's like, no, 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 no. The radical left, if they maintain control, if people like Nick Cannon can go out there and say all white people are subhuman and face no consequences, then you're going to see more of it. But guess what? You'll never see somebody come out and say that all black people or all Hispanics or all people from this part of the world or Pacific Islanders are subhuman. You'll never see that. You know why? Because that's fucked up. For one, it's fucked up. But then also, because that's not allowed speech. But what is allowed to say is how you want to kill Whitey. Not a good look. So I say cancel them all. I say cancel it all into oblivion. If we're going to cancel every conservative, every Trump supporter, every white person who makes a joke, then I say we cancel everybody. Let the mutual destruction begin, my friend. The radical left brought this upon the world, and now they get to reap what they sow. Well, that's all I got for today. You can follow me at tstutch.com, Twitter, tstutch1. YouTube, Taylor, space, Stutch. Facebook, Instagram, Taylor Radio. Thank you, and keep on the good fight.